Good morning to everybody, and welcome to our blether this morning, where we get to understand and know what's happening in the parishes in our area grouping. Now we start to hear from Kimni. Joshua, what's happening in Kimni?
Good morning, Tose. Good morning, everybody. Just a few things to share about what's happening in Kimni. Of course, on Sunday, we'll continue with our regular pattern of Sunday worship at 10 o'clock in the morning. On Monday evenings, via Teams, we will have our Bible study, which is ongoing, and anyone interested in joining that is most welcome. And if you'd like to, please be in contact with me, and we can certainly arrange that. Also, on Fridays, we're continuing with our children, toddlers, and parents playgroup of Little Lambs of Kimni at the Church Center. And the information about that group is posted on the Facebook page for Little Lambs of Kimni. And also, I've been asked to intimate again the operating hours for Loaves and Fishes, our church cafe at the Church Center. And Loaves and Fishes is currently open 10 to 4 p.m. Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, 10 to 4, and on Friday from 10 a.m. till 2 p.m. So please do come by Loaves and Fishes and enjoy a cuppa and a fine piece. With that shared, I now pass it over to Sheila.
Good morning, everybody. It's great to be here. Just a very quick word about a pop-up choir that we're hoping and planning to host on Thursday, the 31st of March, between 10 and 12 in Kimni Church. The idea is really to get some willing singers, not even great choir members. The only criteria for coming along is if you enjoy music and you're willing to come and help us record some additional music for our joint online Easter service. We've got quite a number of people interested already and quite a number that can't come this time but would very much like to join a future event like this. So if you're able to come, you'd be more than welcome. To get a note of the music, just regular hymns that we're going to be singing, please speak or get in contact with your own minister or drop me an email and we'll certainly make sure that you're in the loop. That's 10 to 12 in Kimni Church on the 31st, Thursday the 31st. And it's over to Neil.
Thank you, Sheila, and hello, everybody. Just some notes from Kintore. First of all, this Sunday is our communion service in church. Next Sunday, the 3rd of April, is the annual meeting of the congregation directly after worship. And so if you'd like to have copies of our annual reports, please do contact our church secretary for copies of that. Then our Lenten series of evening services continues every Sunday night at 7 p.m. in the church, and you're very welcome to join us for that. And finally, as we move towards the Easter services, at Kintore, we'll be hosting a Passover meal that's on Thursday the 14th, and there's no fee, but it will be ticketed because we have limited seating. So if you would like to participate in our Passover meal, it's a liturgical meal, but it is a meal, and so you're welcome to join us for that. The whole family are welcome to come along to that too. It is family friendly, and if you'd like to have more details about that, please do contact me or your minister. And over to Ewan in Clooney and Monie Musk.
Thank you, Neil. And it's great to be able to speak to you all once again. Just a few intimations. Today, I'm actually up at Chapel of Geary conducting worship. So it'll be a digital service across at Monie Musk Church. Next week, the 3rd of April, we will be starting the month of April worshipping in Clooney Church. And that's at 10 o'clock. And following this service, we're going to have a meeting of Clooney Kirk Session to discuss the presbytery plan. So that's next Sunday, straight after worship. We're also, during the week, have our usual mainly music group on Tuesday, which is still going great guns, and also our midweek online Lenten study, where I think next week I'm looking at the importance of prayer. I think these are all the information that you need to know just now. And I hand you across to Stella from Blairdaff Chapel of Geary.
Thank you, and welcome to all. We look forward to having you in the pulpit this week. just a reminder that we follow the odds and evens. So the way the months work out, that there's two consecutive odd services on the 27th and then the 3rd of April in Chapel of Geary. So just a reminder that that's the case. And one of the charities closely associated with Chapel of Geary is the FROM, Famine Relief for the Orphans of Malawi. They're having a daffodil tea on Saturday, the 2nd of April at 2 to 4pm in Money Musk Village Hall. So if you can go along and help support that, that would be great. And just a note about the loaves and fishes. I was there the other day and their bannocks are still one of the best in the area. So don't miss out in going there. And now back to Tozi.
Thank you. Now we have heard about the announcements. Let us have time to pray for them and let us pray for the leadership. Now, this is the day that the Lord has made for us. Let us worship together.
Good morning. A very warm welcome to worship here at Kemene Parish Church, to all who are here in person, all who are watching live online or our streaming catch-up service, and it's also a warm welcome to our friends at Littlewood Court, if you're able to join us as well. We're glad to have you all for this time of worship. We've heard a few intimations this morning during the recorded blether, but a couple others to share. That on the 7th of April, we'll have our next meeting of our Kirk session. We're always supposed to give 2 Sundays notice before a meeting of Kirk session, so this Sunday and the next before the 7th of April. Can you believe that April's coming that soon? So, but this meeting of Kirk session, if I understand correctly, will be a hybrid meeting. It will be here in the church. Is that right, Jim? And then we'll have the online option for people to join as well. So it'll be a hybrid meeting of the next meeting of our Kirk session. And one of the most important points being discussed at that meeting is the current formulation of the Presbytery Plan for Mission. So I think it's going to be quite an important meeting, so all elders, if you're able at all to join for that, whether in person or online, please do mark your diaries for that event. Just to follow on briefly from what our friend Sheila Mitchell shared about this pop-up choir she mentioned in her intimation, it's going to happen on the 31st of March from 10 a.m. until 12 p.m. here in Kemene Church. And the purpose of this is to record hymns for our upcoming online joint service of Easter Sunday worship. And so if you'd like to come along, as Sheila said, you can speak with me or you can make contact with Sheila. But there are several copies of more information about this pop-up choir, which are at the back of the church before you go out, behind where Sheila Simpson is sitting. So there are several leaflets listing more details about this event, including which hymns we are going to attempt to sing and record. So as Sheila said, it's not so much about musical ability as about musical interest. You know. So I think there's a good reason why the psalmist says, make a joyful noise, right, to the Lord. So that all are welcome, regardless of past levels of experience or expertise in glee clubs, choirs, singing ensembles, troubadours, whatever you have, all are welcome to join for that. So the information leaflets are at the back of the church. Please pick one up if you are interested. Also, just a follow on from the previous reminder about our upcoming Christian Aid Week, which is 15th through 21st of May. Once again this year, our very own Suzanne Bunton is going to do a kilt walk. And we're being asked to support her endeavor. And Suzanne, you told me just before the service that the kilt walk you're doing this year is on the 29th of May. Is that right? And that information about how to sponsor you will be forthcoming on our social media platforms. So if people would like to support you, that's the best way to go about it. Is that right? So we wish you all the best in your preparation and training for your kilt walk. And we hope it goes even better than last time's. So. Those are all of the information to share at the start of our worshiping time. Let us worship God through the gift of music, by singing our first hymn, Wake Awake, for Night is Flying. I thought this was an appropriate hymn to play as we go into this new season of daylight and nighttime. So we sing together now. FYI, if you could sing that hymn, you can certainly sing in the pop-up choir. I like that one. That one always gives me goosebumps. That's a beautiful, beautiful hymn. For our first prayer this morning, I thought I would draw upon our Christian tradition. We have such a broad and deep tradition of prayer that we can all draw from in our own prayer lives. So our opening prayer comes from actually a Catholic mystic this morning. Perhaps some of you have heard of Thomas Merton before. Yes. So this is a prayer he wrote in his book, Thoughts of Solitude. Let us pray. My Lord God, I have no idea where I am going. I do not see the road ahead of me. I cannot know for certain where it will end. Nor do I really know myself. And the fact that I think I am following your will does not mean that I am actually doing so. But I believe that the desire to please you does, in fact, please you. And I hope I have that desire in all that I'm doing. I hope I will never do anything apart from that desire. And I know that if I do this, Lord, you will lead me by the right road, though I may know nothing about it. Therefore, I will trust you always, though I may seem to be lost and in the shadow of death. I will not fear, for you are ever with me, and you will never leave me to face my perils alone. Amen. I love that line, the desire to please you pleases you. I think that's all that God asks of us when we're trying to find our way forward in life, trying to know what we're supposed to be about as Christians. The desire to please God pleases God. And there's a lot of grace in that. We don't have to have all the answers. We don't have to have life figured out. Our plans can be completely waylaid, thrown off course. But the desire to please God is enough. Amen. So we have Children's Sunday School this morning at the church center. And I believe you're looking at the story of Jesus calming the storm this morning. Another great story from the New Testament. So with that in mind, we'll sing our children's song, With Jesus in the Boat.
Now, we're always looking for action for the children's song, okay? So, does anybody know the actions for this one?
Just have a refresher.
Well, with Jesus in the boat, we can make that sort of shape, okay? We can smile at the storm, okay? Smile at the storm. And when we get to the bit where we go sailing, but we go sail. Well, now you can do that in pews.
When Jesus in the boat, we can smile at the storm. Smile at the storm. Smile at the storm. When Jesus in the boat, we can smile at the storm. We go sailing home. Sailing, sailing.
Sailing home, sailing.
Today's reading from the New Testament comes to us from the book of James, chapter 5, verse 12. Hear now the word of God. But above all, my brothers and sisters, do not swear, either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath. But let your yes be yes and your no be no, so that you may not fall under condemnation. This is God's word to us, and to the Lord be the praise and the glory forever and ever. Let us pray. Lord, in this time of reflection upon your word, may the words of my mouth, may the meditations and the thoughts of our minds and our hearts, may everything that we are in this time be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. You are the strength and the redemption of all who place faith in you. Amen. Well, it wasn't a typo, I promise. It's just one verse for today. And to be clear, I didn't just pick one verse from chapter 5. I didn't pick one just because I'm trying to make this series last a bit longer on the book of James. Can you believe we've been in James since the beginning of January? We've taken our time with it. But I think it's worth taking our time with Scripture to unpack and reflect on what it has to say. And I have to confess that I've enjoyed slowing down and really savoring this book. And I won't ask for a show of hands if you agree, but I hope you have too. So today's reading from chapter 5, this one verse, verse 12, it deals, I think, with a staggeringly important issue in the life of the church and in the whole world as well. What issue is this verse dealing with, broadly speaking? Anybody know? Let your yes be yes and your no be no. It's talking about, I think, the issue of, starts with a T and ends with Ruth. Truth, very good. Feels like a game of Wordle or something, I don't know. And I will confess personally that I probably consume way too much political news. Does anyone else here suffer from the same affliction? Yes. I try very hard, not always with great success, to read from a diversity of sources for my news, even from sites that I generally don't agree with. And I confess that's hard to do. I don't enjoy it. But on any given news story, has anyone else, raise your hands for this one, have you ever had the experience of reading about the same story from two different sources, and it feels like you're reading about two completely different stories? Yeah? Yeah. Okay. So that's an odd phenomenon, isn't it? Yeah. And a while ago, I came across an opinion piece in an American newspaper. I won't say which one. But this newspaper article declared that we are now living in a post-truth world. A post-truth world. Right? The author defined such a world as a place where everyone is allowed their own opinions and also their own facts. Right? It's one thing to say you have your opinion and I have mine. It's another thing entirely, I think, to say you have your facts and I have mine. That's a different issue, isn't it? Or you have your truth and I have my truth. Now, there are many things about which we as people can and should allow for a wide diversity of viewpoints. It's quite an extensive list. There's a lot of things about which we can say we should live and let live. That diversity can be a good thing sometimes. But when it comes to truth with a capital T, when it comes to God's truth, I don't think we can say there are multiple points of view. When it comes to ultimate truth, objective right and wrong, objective truth and falsehood, some things will be true, and some things have to be what? False, right? Despite this, these days, I think there's a lot of cynicism about the importance of telling the truth, or the belief that people are telling the truth. As noted by one biblical scholar, there is a pervasive indifference, this is a quote, to truth-telling, which has not only infected day-to-day conversation, but also the most solemn pledges of life. Perjury under oath is epidemic. Sacred vows of marriage are broken almost as frequently as they are pledged, and God's name is daily invoked by blatant liars as witness to their truthfulness. End quote. And to be blunt, we as Christians are called to take a stand against this constant assault on truth. As Christians, we all claim to follow who? Who do we claim to follow as Christians? Not a trick question. Jesus, right? And Jesus in the Gospel of John said he is the way, the truth, and the life. So we claim to follow the one who is the truth, right? And in light of that, in today's verse from James, we're all being called to a posture, I think, of radical truthfulness. Radical truthfulness. And as we may know, if we've read our New Testament, this teaching from James 5:12, let your yes be yes and your no be no, did this originate with James or did someone say it before him? Someone said it before him. Again, the answer is, as ever in church, Jesus. He said it in his Sermon on the Mount. From Matthew 5, Jesus himself said, you have heard it was said of old, do not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn. But I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. That's what Jesus says in the Gospel of Matthew. So on this issue of telling the truth, Jesus and James are warning believers against taking oaths or vows. Same thing. Why? What's behind this teaching? Well, in a nutshell, the issue was due to a very flippant and casual use of oaths and vows at the time of the New Testament. If we read through the Old Testament, we'll see readily that oaths were encouraged, vows were encouraged, and they were even an essential part of covenantal life with God. There's many grand scenes where all the people of Israel are gathered and they're taking an oath of allegiance to the covenant, right? But that kind of sacred oath-taking had given way to casual and flippant and deceptive uses of vows. This happened by the time of the New Testament, that biblical teaching about taking oaths was subjected to staggering abuse. And in religious texts of the day, there were lengthy discussions about which kind of oaths were binding and which ones were not. In effect, the swearing of oaths, the taking of vows, had degenerated into a system which indicated when someone could lie and when someone could not. Is that the purpose of taking a vow or an oath? Right? No, it's not. So, such a treatment of taking an oath or a vow defeats the very purpose of them. And Jesus and James both knew about this frivolous, abusive use of oaths, and so they both spoke against it. Both Jesus and James tell us that Christians are called to a higher standard of radical truthfulness, a kind of truthfulness that doesn't need to be backed up by a superfluous oath. Simply put, we are called to live in ways that make our yes really mean yes, and our no really mean what? No, right? That's what it means to live lives of radical truthfulness. Now, we know even today we take all sorts of oaths and vows, don't we? Raise your hand if you ever made an oath or a vow of any kind. If you're married or you have been married, your hand should be up. Yeah. I've taken several oaths and vows in my life. When I was in university, I made promises when I became a member of Whitworth Presbyterian Church. When I was in seminary, I joined the U.S. Air Force in the chaplain program, and I took an oath to defend the U.S. Constitution from enemies foreign and domestic. In 2008, I took an oath as a newly ordained minister of Word and Sacrament. In 2014, I took an oath to love, honor, and cherish Heather as my wife. In 2015, I took yet another oath or vow when I was inducted as the pastor of this church. I took yet another vow and I became a formal member of Kemnay Parish Church. On and on it goes. If we stop and think about it, we've all probably taken lots of oaths in our life. I don't remember taking an oath or a vow when we adopted Cameron, but we sure signed a lot of paperwork, so maybe that counts as well. But those are the main ones I can remember in my life. I was baptized as a baby, personally, and so guess who made oaths on my behalf? My parents, right? And to be clear, I don't think it was wrong to take any of those vows. Sometimes taking a vow or an oath underscores the importance or even the sacredness of a particular moment, right? And in James 5, verse 12, what I think he's saying is that James is telling us that our status as radical truth tellers should not depend on taking these oaths, right? That the truth should be an integral part of our language from start to finish. Have you ever noticed how we as humans are drawn to people who have integrity, are drawn to people who are in love with the truth, who live in that way? I think it's amazing how captivating such people are. For me, one great example of truth-telling of integrity was found in Archbishop Desmond Tutu, who just passed away late last year. He certainly had some controversial views. He wasn't everyone's cup of tea, I get that. But no one could claim that he wasn't a person of deep integrity who always pursued the truth, who did more help than harm by a long shot. We might have a different life and a different scope of influence than someone like Desmond Tutu. But I think we are called to live with the same kind of integrity. And a big part of godly integrity is living as radically truthful people. I just said a moment ago how we're drawn to people who have integrity, who speak radical truth. I think this is one of the reasons why Jesus was such a compelling speaker and teacher, as one who embodied the truth. He drew people to him. Right? We also know how upsetting it can be when we realize someone isn't telling the truth as well. I can think back to when I was about 10 years old, right? And there was a contentious hearing for a justice of the Supreme Court of the United States. And there was some allegation against this person before they were confirmed to a lifetime appointment as a judge, right? Maybe we remember this one. Way back maybe the early 1990s, maybe the news broke over here. The Clarence Thomas Anita Hill hearings. And I remember distinctly waking up one morning as a young boy. I saw the front page of the newspaper as one of those split pictures, right? And guess what both people were doing in their pictures? This. What do you do? How does that make you feel when you see there's clearly somebody in that? We don't know who. Clearly somebody is not telling what? The truth. And that creates the opposite reaction. It's just like this feeling of discord and frustration, like, well, why can't we just say what the truth is instead? Yeah. We hunger and we thirst for the truth. One of my favorite movies is the film Liar, Liar with Jim Carrey. Anybody ever seen this movie? Yes. For those, I know Jim Carrey's in everyone's cup of tea, especially with, you know, British sense of humor and whatnot. But if you've never seen the movie, Jim Carrey plays a lawyer, a defense lawyer, who lies for a living, right? What a stereotype. And in the movie, his son makes a wish that just for one day, his dad won't be able to lie at all. And it leads to some rather entertaining and embarrassing results. Throughout the film, he was forced to be radically truthful, even when it caused huge disasters. All right? So there's more to it. It's not simply enough for us to be radically truthful. That's only one part of the equation. For us as Christians, there is one important condition on our call to be radically truthful, and is found in Paul's letter to the Ephesians, where he says, rather, speaking the truth in love. Speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. The first part's the important bit for today's purposes. We're called to speak the truth in love. We're called to be radically truthful in what? I just said it. Love. So this means for us as Christians, unlike Jim Carrey's character in Liar Liar, this means that being people of radical truthfulness does not mean that we can say whatever we want, however we want, to whoever we want, right? My son does that to me all the time, but he's three. He has an excuse. Instead, speaking being radically truthful in love means that we say that we speak the truth to each other, but we do so in ways that glorify God and in ways that honor God's image in others. I'll say it again. We speak the truth in ways that glorify God and in ways that honor God's image in others. We cannot really have truth apart from love. And we cannot have love apart from what? Truth. They go together. If in our lives we wish to say something to someone that we believe to be true, that we think it's true, but it's not in keeping with God's love, do you think we should say it? The answer is no. Again, we cannot have truth apart from love. And we cannot have love apart from truth. We cannot overstate the importance of radical truthfulness spoken in love. For my part, I am convinced that if the Church of Scotland is ever going to find real spiritual renewal on a holistic scale, I am convinced that an integral part of it will be Christians committed to radical truthfulness in love. So may our yes truly be yes, and may our no truly be no. In our own lives, may God help us to always be radically truthful in love. We cannot do without it. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Continue in worship now with singing our next hymn of praise to God, Tell Out My Soul.
Thank you.
us pray. Lord Jesus, you are the light of the world. You are the light shining in the darkness, and your light will never be extinguished. And Lord, as the light of the world, we believe and we trust that in this time you are close to those who are suffering and those who are enduring hardship. So in that faith, we pray today for the people of Africa, where the cost of everyday items such as bread is soaring due to the war in Ukraine. We pray for the country of Sudan, where pro-democracy protesters are braving threats of violence to make their voices heard. We pray for North America, where people are grieving and recovering in the aftermath of tornadoes in the United States, where people in Jamaica are struggling with the continued impact of the past enslavement of their people. We pray for your light to come to South America, where people are grieving the loss of life from mudslides in Brazil, and where people are hoping and praying for a peaceful election and transfer of power in Colombia. We pray for your light to come to Asia, where people are mourning loved ones who died in a recent Chinese plane crash, and for young girls in Afghanistan whose school was closed after just 1 month of being open for education. We pray for the people of Australia who are starting to recover from historic flooding. We pray for the area of Antarctica where temperatures are significantly higher than average. And we pray for Europe, where the people of Ukraine continue to endure the horrors of war, and where so many Russian people lament and protest against the unjust actions of their government. Lord Jesus, we believe that your light is shining in all of these places. As members of your body, as those whom you have redeemed and called by name, help us in our own ways to carry your light into the world around us. And we pray earnestly now for the day, Lord, when all of creation, all nations, all people, will be turned back to your ways. As a sign of our faith in this coming day, we join our voices together, Lord Jesus, in the words that you taught us. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We now prepare to sing our closing song of praise, Lord, reign in me.
Thank you.
Friends, we cannot have truth without love. We cannot have love without truth. Go forth from this place today, and may we all be committed to radical truthfulness in love. And may the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, may this blessing be upon each of us and upon all who we know, this day and forevermore. And all of God's children said together, Amen.